Hey, thanks for listening to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Before we get too deep into this thing, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America, privateer proven, gold valves. They got suspension parts as well. Get your right spring rate done. Get a revalve. Get a oil change. Get motor work done. All of it. Racetech.com. They've been in business since, dude, the early 80s or something. And the best part is if you tell me listen to Pulp MX, the guys at Racetech and Racetech.com will give you a discount. That's right. It's that easy. Get some motor work done. Get suspension work done. Anything like that. Racetech.com. The home for suspension. All right. On to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
All right, everybody. Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing Racer X Hangtown MX review. Thanks for watching and listening. Super appreciate it. We are a day late. It is my fault. Normally, it's one of the other Jasons, but today I will accept all the blame that we'll talk about later on. But thanks again, everybody. Lots to get into when it comes to Hangtown. I heard it was hot. I'm not sure. I'll try to verify with the two guys that were there. But again, thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for making this happen and flyracing.com. Use the code PULPMX when you're checking out. Official gear of the Supercross champ, Cooper Webb, Chance Hymus, RJ Hampshire, Dean Wilson. I think he won in Brazil in Fly Racing. So PulpMX code to save at flyracing.com, from the Kinetic Mesh gear to the Evo gear to F16 to Enduro stuff, kids, women's, all of it. They've got it. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for making it happen. Renthal, Maxxis, Brunt Boots, we'll tell you more about later on. Motorsport.com as well, all on board with this show. But lots to dive into, including my attempt to make it to Loretta Lynn Ranch, which ended in tears and shame. But first, let's talk some Hangtown. He is the voice of the Pro Motocross Series. He was there with James Stewart calling the action. The Jason Wigan. What's up, Weege?
Yeah. Wasn't hot.
No.
Wasn't hot from my perspective.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Nice air-conditioned trailer.
Almost had to put a sweater on.
Fantastic. Yeah, it seemed like you guys were pretty cool in there.
Yep.
The pit reporter for the series, it definitely was not in an air-conditioned cooler. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
That would be on-track analyst, sir. But yes, it was indeed hot. I was not in the palatial MX Sports / NBC Sports trailer that Jason Wigan and James Stewart
on a mountaintop on the mountaintop.
Yep, up by Big Mo, as they say. It was warm. No doubt about it. Now, was it an all timer with the heat? I'm gonna say no. I will say no. The humidity was the factor there, but it was definitely hot, and you could see it on all the riders' faces when they came off the track.
All right, broadcast complaints now or later?
Hit us with it.
Let's do later. I want to discuss this heat thing.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Weege.
Yeah. I think we thought we saw it in all the riders' faces, but an amazing thing happened at the end of the day. Yeah, the 250 riders were cooked. Cooked in somewhat of the literal, not figurative sense. JT, that was a nice move with Deegan. You started your Deegan interview saying even you were cooked. The podium was three mechanics. Do you know this, Steve?
I saw that. Yeah, I was going to get into that. Yeah.
Shimoda threw up in a Portageon, which I think would make you want to throw up more. He did come to the podium, but then realized when it was two other mechanics, he would be cool and let his mechanics shake the champagne. So the 250 guys were done. Even Deegs, super fit, done.
Yeah, Deegs got his interview done and then had dirt in his throat or something, right?
No.
I think that was more of an allergic reaction, JT.
Yeah. Well, he woke up sick in the morning. And then he said it got really bad in the second moto. Like his throat started closing up and he sounded terrible. Like he had a cold, like he had some sort of respiratory something going on.
So his wasn't just heat, but I think he wasn't asking for more laps.
Not the second one. The first one, he was fine. The first one, he even made comments like in typical Hayden fashion, yelling at Kitchen about it's not even hot, because Kitchen was having a hard time. Like, honestly, he was having a really hard time. And Deegan, true to form, was leaning into that at Kitchen, like chirping at him. That's just what he does.
It never stops. But Steve, you will enjoy this so much. If you folks watch the Twisted Tea Best Post Race Show, we interviewed Benoit Pacharel, and he's like, I wish they put the 5 minutes back in, because they cut the motos to 25 minutes. And I'm like, are you good? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, just takes me a while to get going. I finally was starting to feel my flow, and then there was two laps to go. And then I talked to Guillaud, and the 450 battle, credit to our guy Anton, Michael Antonovich, for pointing this out. If you look at like 10th through 16th, they were gnarly right to the checkers. I think there were 6 seconds between five guys. They're all veteran dudes. They know how to pace themselves. JT, what do you always say? The motorcycles do have brakes. The 30-year-old guys in the 450s were fine. The 250 guys were cooked.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with shortening the motos 25 minutes. Like, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But, like, obviously you get all the keyboard warriors. But, like, whatever, man. Like, 25 minutes, there's not a lot that goes on the last 5 minutes in a national, like, generally speaking. Sometimes, for sure, but not... Not generally, not really. So I'm fine. Like, whatever. I don't know what the reaction was with riders and teams, but cool, whatever. Yeah.
Most people I talked to were happy about it. Mm-hmm. They were glad. Like Duff told me, he's like, that was a great move. All these 250 guys were all hurting so bad. But my just point is, it is hilarious to see it's so bad. And it was bad. But the 30-year-old veteran dudes are just like, what? I just went slower.
So
that was fine.
The only input I have here is after the first 450 moto, and these are all the little things that you hear that we don't get on camera just because I'm standing right there in the midst of it. But credit to MX Sports and the AMA. They went over and were asking Jet and AP and Tomac, like, hey, do you guys want a shorter second moto? Like, how are you feeling? How bad is this? What is your input? They went over and asked these guys, and I couldn't hear what Jet was saying, but AP was asking Jet, like, hey, do we want a shorter second moto? They're asking, and Jet was kind of across where they couldn't get to him because he was surrounded by people. So regardless of how you feel about the decision, I do like that they're getting input from the riders right after the race. Like, how bad is this? Because we're not racing, we're standing around. Do you guys feel this is dangerous? Should we make an adjustment for the second moto? So I just wanted to put that in there because I think in the past we've seen decisions get made unilaterally without consulting anyone. This definitely wasn't that.
How high in Duff's life was the celebration, you think, on the podium?
Oh, good point.
Did he get more Instagram subscribers? And is this the pinnacle of Duff's life? It's got to be up there. It's got to be high up there. But listen, I'm no hate comms because I was a mechanic for a long time. I probably would have also enjoyed that. So I'm not coming down on Duff.
Hey, So when this went on, I was down there, same situation as what I was just talking about the 450 guys. And I was talking to Brian because Hayden went to go get medical treatment. I was just standing around I was getting out of the sun, and he thought that I was waiting to talk to Hayden again. And I'm like, No, my part is done now. And he's like, well, Hayden's not going to do the champagne thing. And I'm like, I don't run the show here, right? Like, I think that they feel that I have some sort of say about what's happening. And I'm just a clown up there with a microphone. So he's like, hey, Duff's going to do that. He'll love it. Like, I'm like, fine by me, man. I don't run the show here. But it was just funny how all those things are kind of happening in the moment. It wasn't planned. Hayden's like, I need to go get checked out. Duff's like, yes, I am fully in to go up there and spray champagne.
Yeah.
So, awesome moment.
And again, no hate comms, because I would have loved to do it too. So it was kind of a weird moment, but kind of cool at the same time.
JT, I'm surprised you didn't want to weigh in on that. You say this all the time, when there's a gnarly section on a supercross track, like, yeah, but you can go slower and you can manage it. I'm surprised that you're not weighing in and saying, I mean, you raced for 15 years or whatever. When it's hot, you can pace yourself.
Yeah, I'm torn on it. I've felt both scenarios here where, Southwick 2005, the second moto, I was really hurting and I wanted the race to be over. And then other times I've really been charging through the pack late. And I'm like, if I could just have two more laps, like if it was 35 plus two, I would do even better. But when I try to be really careful though, when it comes to heat, we've had tragedies in the sport happen when it's on really hot days. So I don't want to have a hot take on something like this. And then we make the mistake of like, nope, this is, we need to tough it out. And then somebody has a real problem because we decide to make it even harder. So I'm cool with the decision. You know, I understand the other side of it is like guys train for these moments. They train for the hardest days to really have their results improve because of it. There's that side of it too. But we can't ignore the fact that people could overheat and have some real problems if we didn't respond to it.
Jeff Ward had some thoughts on social media.
Jeff Ward had some thoughts.
No, I understand.
You knew box was checked. Yes. Someone was going to do it.
But I understand their take. I do. I really do. I'm always wary of when it's a safety thing. Because you say like they have brakes. Well, yeah, you don't – if you have to keep going – and your brain overheats, like some nasty things can happen that are not voluntary, right? Jumping a section, you have a choice. Like you have a choice of whether I want to jump this or not. Like that is it. But like whether the race ends or not, like guys, it's really hard for them to just be like, I need to pull off. Like that's such a hard thing to voluntarily end your race because you're too hot.
Yeah, I wasn't even weighing in on the 5 minute. That's way out of my hands. Same thing. That's a medical decision, and I'm not going to weigh in on that, the cutting the motors 5 minutes. I just found it funny that the 19-year-olds were dying, and the 30-year-olds were like, yeah, I just went slower in the race, and I got to the finish line okay.
Yeah, you know what I was
like, ah, it's so funny how experience, and there's two different classes, and how people approach racing.
So I was wondering also, in that same vein, the way you race a 250 is different then a 450, like it's intensity and pushing and you're just always on the edge, where a 450, you can kind of get in a rhythm, lean on the power a little bit to kind of carry around, carry momentum more. So I don't know if that's a factor, like the way you have to race a 450 leads to just maybe being a little bit more gassed and a little hotter because you kind of can't back it down or you're really going to suffer lower lap times. I don't know if there's something there in the way that you can race a 450 maybe.
Could be. Could be.
Broadcast complaints.
Oh, here we go.
Last week, Cole Davies was listed as on a Kawasaki for SMX points. This week, we got Seth Hammaker as Garrett Marchbanks. What's going on with the graphics here?
Oh, I did see that. There was a Marchbanks interview where it said Hammaker, right?
Yeah, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Maybe Davies is on a Kawasaki now. Have we seen him in the last couple weeks?
Fair.
Maybe he is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then maybe that is Seth Hammaker.
Maybe it is.
I mean, Tom Cruise has that mask he pulls on for Mission Impossible, you know? So, I don't know. Can we get that going? Do we not? Who's responsible for that? Is that, do we fire Bondo, JT? Who do we fire for putting?
What I would recommend, Steve, you send a strongly worded email to everyone you know. That's what I would tell you to do. Okay. Just because I want you to do that. I want you to make an ass of yourself to all these people. Please.
Oftentimes on professional sports, I see Lewis Hamilton's name there while they're talking to Verstappen. Happens all the time.
So you think that Marchbanks and Hammaker are Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton? That's
okay.
What you think.
Tom Brady and Derek Carr. I see it all the time. You're right. We should just excuse it.
Tom Brady and Garrett Marchbanks are great.
No,
great.
I'm just like, dude, you got the wrong name. It's like, it's not a
with
wrong spelling.
It's 36 and 56. Like, there are some similarities. Somebody made a
Holy
mistake.
Holy smokes. Like, okay. All right. The apologists are here. We're here. All right.
Nobody's apologizing. I'm just saying, like what do you want them to do? Like, you want
what do I want them to do? I want them to correctly identify the rider.
I'm saying right now, you complaining, what do you want them to do about it?
I'm just bringing it up. I don't know how this happens in the first place. I don't know how no one... Like, I don't get that. I don't know how something like that happens. And it's not the first time, as we've known. So
there's a graphics team, graphics department, and somebody hit the wrong button, I'm sure is what it was.
Yeah.
It's literally that simple.
But it's happened before. So
Someone probably hit the wrong button
also.
Too.
Okay, all right. Well, let's look into the...
I mean, it's no different than if we put the wrong... If we put a caption on a photo on a website, still a person in there doing it.
Yeah.
So, like the JMB... RJ photo last week.
Oh,
there's always human error. There's always human error.
The Lampson thing was done nicely. There was a little screw up with talking about 125s, and then you showed Lammy on a YZ250. Whatever, that's fine. It's not that big of a deal. And then at one point, the camera zoomed in on the wrong guy. Lammy was behind Ernesto, I think, or maybe Roncada. And the camera went in onto Roncada when Lammy wasn't supposed to be the focus of the photo. Oh, but generally speaking, it was done better than putting the photo of RJ. So, all right, let's talk racing a little bit. Lots to get into. Well, great first moto. Very unpredictable. Obviously, I was just following it by live timing, and I rewatched it back. But, yeah, Jet didn't get the start he needed. But you know what? Like, I don't think you can focus on, like, Jet in the first moto. Like, he screwed up, and he wasn't – I don't think he's happy with his bike where he needs to be. But, like, how about – like, off the start, he was right there. He was right there. He was fourth. Those guys were first and second, a couple seconds ahead of him. And, like, whatever reason, Eli and AP – pulled away. And I saw a lot of discourse about, like, Jet did this and Jet did that. But, man, Weege, I'll start with you. Like, I think AP and Eli just rode phenomenal. Like, great work pulling away.
Yeah, I think both things are true. I keep going to, in 2023, when Jet was perfect, he makes it look like he's cruising, right? It makes it look like he's got 30 more seconds he could put on everyone if he felt like it. And Stu kept saying over and over, I think he's way closer to the edge than it looks, but he's just, he doesn't want to go any faster than he's going. But Stu is so big on, but he has to start every time. He can control the pace. If there's a little section where he wants to go a little bit slower and he knows you can't pass him through there, he'll just go slower. So I go back to last week, Tomac was killing him with this one inside line, like the third turn of the race. And I asked Dazzy, I'm like, why did Jet not start to change his line? Like, Tomac was making all like 2 seconds in one turn. And he's like, because he knew the next turn, Tomac couldn't pass him. So he didn't need to. He just stuck with what he knew.
But
hold on. So Stu has said to me over and over, he's like, I think it would be different if he had to catch Chase Sexton or Eli Tomac. You're going to find out he probably doesn't have 2 to 3 seconds a lap that he could just blow by the dudes like it looks like he does when he's ahead of them. And he didn't in that first moto. Now, many things are true. Yes, the bike, I'm sure, is not where he wants it. He probably was conserving energy. It was hot.
The button.
He's still less than 4 months back from ACL surgery.
Yeah.
We already forgot about that because he went 1-1 last week. But I agree. In the end, he wasn't fast enough to catch him.
Right.
He wasn't.
Right. I just saw a lot of, like, what's wrong with Jet? How about AP and Eli rode great and pulled away?
Wasn't fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot. There's a lot there to unpack. Number one, this track hasn't ever been great for Jet, and the results, you know, he's won 3 times there, so you have to parse that a little bit on a relative basis, but it's never been a track where he's been able to go out and dominate. Just he hasn't ever done that. And the year he won the championship, not a great performance. We know what happened last year. This year we saw the first moto. Like, we just have to come to terms with this is a track where he's a little bit more human than normal. That's a fair take. We saw in the first moto this weekend, he certainly wasn't comfortable with the motorcycle. He said it was too stiff on the podium. And that's what you get. You know, he probably, I'm going to guess, was frustrated that he had to lay up. I was watching him very closely under the tent, and there was not a lot of smiling or satisfaction going on after the first moto. Like, he was not happy with having to take third. There wasn't much he could do about it. And that doesn't really happen for Jet. I don't know that we've ever seen a situation where he wasn't able to close down a gap. Like, I cannot remember one where he hasn't been able to make time when he really needed to. And we saw that this weekend. On the last weekend, it's not that Dazzy's incorrect. Like, he's of course entitled to whatever racecraft they want, you know, justifying the line. My problem with it is that just because Eli wasn't able to make a pass in the next section doesn't make it, that doesn't disqualify the fact that line was slow and Jet could have seen it and it would have made his life a lot easier that whole moto, right? So it's easy to say, well, yeah, he couldn't pass him. Well, did you want pressure? Did you want Eli next to you all over the racetrack? Because if you had changed lines there, I don't think Eli could have gotten to you. Like, that would have changed the lap time game in that scenario. So in the end, it's not – Dazzy's free to make that take. I just think long-term, if Jet wants to be, like, the best ever, I think he will change up his line in that situation and say, Eli's faster there. Okay, maybe he can't pass me there. Who cares? I can go faster on a lap time basis by changing my line here, which will make my life easier. It will also allow for a mistake if I happen to make one later. It'll make the last few laps of the race a breeze. Like there's all sorts of things there. So I just wanted to touch on that because I think it's more of like a justification or kind of like he's trying to disqualify the fact that Jet didn't change lines. Mm. And it's not that he's wrong. I just don't think it's necessarily like, it's not right either. Does that make sense? Like, I just think he would have been better off. He'd have been like, yeah, that line's better. I'm going to change now. Whether he can pass or not is almost kind of a non-starter.
I'm just going to talk about Hangtown though on this pod. I'm going to talk about Hangtown.
Are you okay, Steve?
I'm okay. We just wasted 5 minutes talking about lions in last week's Pollard race.
Well, I was using that as an indicator
of. I know what you were. Yes.
When we did this throughout Supercross or Cooper Webb, we're trying to find ways to illustrate these intangibles of racecraft that Webb has, because you can't just say, well, look at this guy through the whoops. You can see why he's the Supercross champion. You have to find other things. So Stu has been adamant for this is the third straight season where he's like, I swear to you, he's not as much faster as it looks. He is closer to the edge. He can't just blow by everybody like you. He looks like he's riding at 80%, right? It looks like he could go 20% faster at any time. And Stu's like, I don't think that's true. If he was ever 12 seconds behind Chase Sexton, I don't think he's going to catch him. But Chase Sexton has literally never been in front of him in a moto, pretty much ever. So this was Stu being like, that's what I always wanted to see. Could he catch them? And he could not. Now, you're right, JT. Hangtown on his best track. Bike's not where he wants it. It was hot, and he was probably playing it smart. All those things can be true. But, I that's the point Stu's wanted to make. Like, I don't know if he can just make up 2 seconds a lap on Eli Tomac whenever he wants. So at least this time he
can. I think he can. I think he can. Put my hand up. I think he can.
I think he can at tracks where he feels comfortable. This weekend, I agree with Stu. Other times where Jet's like kind of like he's agreeing with the track, the bike's working the way he wants to. I do think he has more. I do. So I don't think it has to be universal across the board as a full concept. But this particular weekend, I think Jet was he found the limit. Like, and so could he have taken more chances and maybe crashed trying to catch him? Probably. But I think he is maturing and understanding like that's all there was. Like if I went any faster, I was probably going to end up on my head.
The button was back for Moto 2. So I don't know what happened to the button in Moto 1. I don't know what went on.
A couple things.
No scoop tire and no third gear would be the answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the scoop tire. JT, you were back. Scoop tire was back.
Yeah, but we got JT's fake news or something. I don't know what's going on with the Prado scoop information.
No, I am not fake news. I am 100%. I was standing there looking at it, Steve.
Were you looking at the right rider?
The number 70, the Spaniard from Lugo. Okay. Yeah. That's him.
Because someone from Cowie was telling us that the scoop wasn't on.
The first moto he ran it. The second moto he did not. I went down to the starting line to look at this, and he and Anderson did not have it on.
Yeah, Cowie told me that the scoop was on. So first it's moto, very bizarre. No, but for second moto too. But
no, you can put me in the same group text because I will call somebody out immediately because I was standing there staring.
Yeah, I'm kidding about fake news, but it's so weird where I'm just like, hey, I got to figure this out, and then I get two completely different answers.
I called a crew chief out before the first moto because I'm like, hey, what are we doing with this thing? Like, why are we not running the scoop? And he's like, the scoop is on for the first moto. Like, it's on. Yeah,
right.
I'm like, okay. That's all I needed to know. He's like, we're ready to get a good start. Like, what's good after this thing? And I'm like, cool. No problem. And then for the second moto, it was off again. And that's where, that's where I came out the report.
And the Lawrences decided no scoop for God knows what reason. Yeah, it's the scoop's too much. I don't want to hear about it, but yet it's very important information. But I also don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, I feel like it's too much too. And I'm the one talking about it. But it's affecting the race, you know? So I don't know how to not talk about it at the same time.
And let me just say that I raced my regional this weekend. And last weekend, I did not have a scoop on. And I put a scoop on, a Maxxis scoop, sponsor of this show. I got one from Jericho. And, dude, we all know my starts are not good. There's plenty of evidence out there we could pull up. Guess who yarded starts all weekend against guys without scoops? Me.
I mean, you can – stupid as a rider, me. Yeah.
Stupid, as crappy a rider me with a scoop on. I got a whole shot. I got I got top 3 starts all the time.
As a rider, Steve, you can feel the difference.
Yeah.
Like – straight line acceleration, you can literally feel it pulling you forward more. Like it's noticeable as a rider feeling it.
It's just, it's unbelievable. And again, I turned into Donnie Holeshot Hansen this weekend because of a Max's scoop. So stop doing this, Lars. I guess Lars said blame the crew chief, so it's not even Lars' fault. All right, so
I think they said they thought their starts were so good they could get away with the knobby tire and still get the start. That didn't happen in the first moto, so they did go to the scoop in moto 2.
Yeah, you can't get away with it. You can't get away with it. Prado can't get away with it. Lawrence's can't get away with it. Stop it.
No,
one can get away with it.
But then Jed also said that he didn't grab third quickly enough. I think he said he didn't get a gear. I'm assuming that's second to third.
Yeah,
well, I think he.
So I don't know if it was the scoop that changed it in the first moto, or the lack of scoop, or the shift. I don't know.
Right.
So,
but he got a freaking another ridiculous start.
I'm pretty sure he catches it with his heel when he lifts his foot up to the peg, and I think he just missed it.
Okay.
So AP last year lost the lead to incredible to Chase Sexton with half a lap to go. This year he loses the lead with a lap and a half to go to Eli. And you got a feel for AP, man. It's so close. I mean, look, he wouldn't have won the overall anyways with what happened with Justin Cooper getting in the middle there. But, Weege, I don't know if you saw this on Pulp MX site, but MX Reference dug up a chart. Aaron Plessinger is the career leader in 250 MX champions with the most races without a win in the 450 class. He's first with 52 races raced with no wins. Dino is next. And then it's like Guy Cooper and Lampson and these other guys. So out of the guys who have won 250 motocross championships and have never won a 450 motocross race, AP's the leader. And he's gonna continue. He's got 5 second places. He's got a couple of motos robbed from him. So
it's kind of a dubious stat, though. So you're saying he has the most starts in the 450 class without a win of all these 250 champions?
Yes.
But you have to be good enough to get that opportunity where many 125/250 guys didn't even get enough chances. We talked about Steve Lampson. He didn't have multiple years on factory teams in the premier class. Poor J-Mart. J-Mart never rode a 450 outdoors at all.
Yeah, J-Mart's not
so you have to be good enough to earn the chance to even get the factory bike. So
I'm just my point
that's
is
that's me.
My point is poor AP. Goddamn, he's got to get one of these. He's been as close.
Oh, I
mean, again, he wouldn't have got the overall this weekend, but he rode great. He's good at Hangtown, anyways, as we know. You got a feel for him. He said he misread the laps in the first moto. He misread them wrong, and then he almost had a big one. Poor AP.
What do we make of that? Because he said
Make of the same. What was his answer last week to go back to scoop tire? Why did he not run the scoop tire in Moto 1?
Yeah, brother, I don't know.
Not really sure, didn't think about it.
I don't really know.
I believe this is the same answer here. I talked to Ian Harrison about it. Aaron was asked about it in the press conference. He isn't quite sure where he came up with this idea that there were two laps to go when there were actually four.
Yeah,
and
brother, I don't know.
He's probably hot and not thinking straight.
Right. Yeah, I mean, maybe, at that point, your brain is fried, so maybe you're seeing two boards somewhere. I don't know. But you really got a feel for him because he rode great.
It's more of a bummer than last, because let's be honest, last year he almost won it, but a guy came from freaking last to pass him.
Yeah.
This one, now Tomac was probably metering out energy, waiting, it was hot, etc., but he outran the guys straight up.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, I started with a minute and a half lead over Sexton and I couldn't hold it. This was, I was better than Tomac and Jet for 93% of the race.
Yep.
I know there was some management, but I don't know. This one, I don't know if that makes it hurt more or less, but it was better.
Maybe he gets one. Like, you know, I'll ask you guys later on about Jet and Deegs and overall wins. But, like, yeah, he's starting to ride pretty good. Now, obviously, two good tracks for him. He rides Paula well because he told me he did 8 million laps there on Star Yamaha, even though he hates it, and rides Hangtown well. So maybe, you know, maybe he drops off a little bit. But, you know, he's second in points right now. And, so – maybe this is the year AP breaks that record. Riding well.
Yeah, I think you can get one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eli Tomac, great first moto. Got caught up in the start with the Euros. Some say it was conspiracy. Some say the Euros are planning on this.
Really?
Yeah, it's out there.
Oh, really?
But listen.
No, Guido told me he's mortified because he's like, I've never dealt with these ruts in front of the gate. He's like, why don't they groom right in front of the gate? And I'm like, well, because at this track, there was like the first turn crash to end all first turn crashes the first year they had greats at Hangtown. You guys remember that one? Dudes were flipping over the fence and everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. So then they're like, we're going to keep what do you think it is, JT? 10 feet?
Oh, is that a – that was reason why they really changed it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they leave the ruts in to allow – everyone will have variants, so they won't be handlebar to handlebar and in the first
turn. Like, no, Guillot, we let you use start blocks and start maps and start devices and grates and lights on the handlebars, and we'll even push you if you need to. But the rut – the rut –
scoop tires. We'll get scoop tires.
The rut is what we draw the line at. You know,
I'm with you.
Starting has never been easier. Like, all right,
he feels bad. He's like, it was just normal.
He shouldn't feel bad.
It is just normal.
Yeah,
stuff happens all the time. And I'm like, do you want to explain this? And he takes his shirt and puts it over his face. And he's like, no, I do not want the American fans to know what I look like, because he's afraid some Tomac fan will kill him.
But honestly, I would say, I mean, yeah, okay, Guillot went left. He didn't mean to. He didn't want to. It obviously impacted Tomac, but Eli's bad jump was the catalyst for all this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Eli didn't get to starting. So he probably would have got up to fifth, I think, if I was doing the math right. What do you guys think? Fifth?
Oh, no.
More?
He was going to get to fifth. He might have been in fifth within the next lap.
Yeah, but then
I don't know. I think he made him.
I think it was Hunter.
JT, do you think he could have made a run for second in the moto and then
overall? No, he wasn't. No, Hunter was like six. Hunter was like 4 or 5 seconds ahead of him.
Did you watch last year's Hangtown?
I know, but we only had 6 minutes to go or something.
No.
8 minutes
to go. It was way earlier than that.
Oh, when he crashed, there was lots of time left.
I don't know. Okay, so I was roughly watching it. I was sitting poolside when I was watching it, so maybe I was a little more relaxed when I was doing the math.
Yeah. He had a gap. I think it was 15 seconds he would have had to make up, but as Stu pointed out, especially when it's hot out like this, it is possible for guys to start making up, JT, right? 3 to 4 seconds a lap when you're going for it and they're cruising.
I will say, Eli's an animal. He's a beast, as we know. He looked worked after that first moto, I thought. Like, I'm like, oh, boy. Yeah, I thought he wasn't going to pass out or anything. I just have so much sort of admiration for his gnarliness that I thought I saw on his face, like, that, oh, boy, that was a tough one.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all.
I didn't get that.
Okay. Bummer he crashed.
Can we just crown this here? He did it.
What?
He did it. He beat Jet Lawrence straight up.
He did.
Lawrence was there. Lawrence had him in sight. He pulled away. Jet couldn't do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, same with AP. Like, I keep hearing about what was wrong with Jet. How about we just say AP and Eli rode great?
That's crazy to me that you're hearing that. Like, you're not hearing Eli Tomac is God who can walk on water on earth, and he showed Jet what's
some
up.
Of that no too. No, that. Some of that too. But like, hey, what was wrong with Jet? What happened to Jet? Like, he just couldn't make it happen. Like,
I feel like it proves something. I mean, it's been literally 3 years of outdoors where no one's really been able to do that.
Did Jet? I should have looked. Did this research? Did he not get second, or did he not win High Point with a 2-1 or 3-1? Last year, did he go 1-1 High Point?
No, I don't think it was 1-1, but
no.
I mean, he was banged up
from
the Hangtown crash.
Yeah, no, shoulder was jacked up. But I'm just saying,
he wasn't winning all the motos at that point.
Right, Southwick, I don't think he won one moto at Southwick the next week or something. But
so
we've seen him lose motos before, but he is still, 17 for 18? Is that or 18 for 19? What is he? Yeah.
In overalls?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's 17 and 18.
Right. So
but if you're a Tomac fan, and most people are, you're looking at, like, Tomac gave Mulligan a handle in the second moto last week. He couldn't beat Tomac in the first moto this week. Yeah. If you're a Tomac fan, you're like, bro, they're close. This is on. This is a battle now.
The other side of this coin, though, and people are coming at me after the race, just like, people are insane. But the other side of that coin is that Tomac has been so phenomenal through two rounds. He's really kind of brought it. And yet, how many points is he down? 14? 15?
Well, it's like Supercross. He was phenomenal.
Supercross.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that's I was trying to convey this during the races. That's what makes racing against Jet so difficult for championships, is you can get, like, he beat him straight up in that first moto, and you can be on his level like he was the second moto at the opener, and then you make any sort of mistake. You get a bad start. You leave the door open in any possible way, and you look up and you're like, oh, crap, I'm down 15 points to this guy that really doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't really have a lot of weakness here. unless I'm just going to win a bunch and that's the answer, it's really hard to race against this guy because he does not give you opportunity. And I understand that he's gotten hurt in two series in a row now. I understand. I get all that. But like when Jed has been healthy, he makes it so hard on these guys. Ask Chase Sexton what that life is like trying to beat him. Ask Cooper Webb in Supercross in 2024 what that's like to beat this guy who just – he very rarely opens the door. And when he doesn't open the door, he's too damn good to beat anyway. It's a really hard equation to crack.
Can I get a Justin Cooper scoop tire? Both motos, I think.
They were all on it the second moto, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody but Anderson and Prado.
Right. Hey, so
JT, that's the same reason you said people aren't saying. That's why Guillaume knows that Tomac didn't get the jump. In a logical world, Guillaume did nothing wrong. In a logical world, what you're saying about these points really hurt Tomac, that is absolutely correct. But we are dealing with Tomac fans and fans in general here who don't want to hear any of that.
No.
Well, it's been a great start for Eli. There's, yeah, regardless, just
even, awesome.
He's got a fourth and a ninth, right. Or a fourth and a, do you get ninth? What do you get? Yeah, ninth, fourth and a ninth, and it's still been a great start for Eli. So
the only reason I would even talk about it in this way is because Eli's been so great. If Eli wasn't so great so far, that topic wouldn't even exist. Like that is the
right
point.
What are you gonna? It's like Rocky.
We're
four.
Not looking at Cody Shock's points and can he catch Jet?
Yep.
It's like Rocky IV. He's not a man. He's a machine. What are you going to do, Eli? He's a machine. There's nothing you can do. But no, it's going to be great. Also, looking at the points and look at the results from this race and last week, we have 14 points from Hunter Lawrence in fifth to Jason Anderson in sixth. And I feel it's dangerous to make assumptions after two rounds, and it is California rounds at that. But I do think that's what we've got some – we've got some separation here of the packs of riders. You guys agree?
Yes, with one major carve out.
Okay.
Which will probably be a huge discussion on this show, which is the Prado topic.
Oh.
I mean, certainly nothing has shown us so far that Prado's about to go out there and beat Lawrence's and Tomac and or Plessinger yet. But it's something that has to be discussed.
Okay, we'll get to that. Justin Cooper, good job. 4-2 for Justin Cooper. He rode really well, third overall. So, great job for him. That second moto was pretty good. Like, he just cruised. I was looking at the gaps, and, you know, AP never really could get that close to him. And he didn't let Jet get away that much. Again, hot, so maybe Jet's like, hey, I got 6 seconds, typical Jet style. But either way, I think if you're Justin Cooper, good job on that one. Tomac 1-9, we talked about. Hunter Lawrence 5-4, quiet day for Hunter. I just watched it back. I don't got a lot to add unless you two guys do.
Not really.
By the way,
I don't
Tomac's
think,
pass on Jay Coop in the first moto where he like double-doubled then tipped off the high one was, oh,
that
dude.
Was sweet. Yeah.
He's going so fast up that hill and then you got to time that thing to land on top to like blitz over. Oh, dude. Yeah, pretty sweet pass. I actually rewound it and watched it. Hunter Lawrence 5-4, Cooper Webb 7-7, having a good time. Was there any more updates about having a good time?
I think he bristled a little bit. I talked to him right before he went out for practice, and I'm like, hey, I heard you guys all went back to Florida this week. He's like, yeah, we did a lot of stuff. We worked on a lot of stuff. I'm like, okay, so you are – this isn't just dude hanging out at the races. And I think he was a little bristling over like, yes, I am having a good time, but let's pump the brakes on. Like, I don't even care. Or I'm not even trying.
Well,
he is putting in work.
That actually leads me to my next question. And I was going to bring up Sexton later in the show, but we can talk about that now.
Yes.
The reason Coop is, well, not the reason, but one of the things, Coop loves money and SMX points matter now. And he had a big lead or had a lead on Sexton. And now, all of us would have been like, well, Sexton's going to pass him, and it's just a matter of how much damage Coop can withstand to, you know, keep his deficit when round one of SMX starts. But no, hey, man, Coop, it's all coming up, Coop, because Chase is banged up and
it
not
matters,
racing.
Though. I think it matters. Like, Coop, if he can just stay in the top 10, right, just consistently put up, you know, 28, 32 points a weekend, those guys, the Tomacs and Jets and those guys won't catch him. Chase is definitely not going to catch him, and you'll go in with the number one seed.
You, you look at Supercross, he was battling Sexton, and we all, again, Sexton would all pass him. And then after that, it's Mookie, and it's Kenny, and it's Justin Cooper. All guys, now, okay, Cooper, probably a little better outdoors, but he's in that mix of guys that he was ahead of already in Supercross. Like, this is turning out, will Jet pass him? No. Eli? Yes, maybe. This is all working out great for Coop, because Sexton was the guy that could definitely bump him. And Jay Coop will probably bump him. But again, the strategy for Coop is working out nicely, because Malcolm, he's going to be around Malcolm all summer, and he already has his Supercross points on him. So,
if I have my calculations right, okay. Do I have this right? He's about 250 points ahead of Tomac right now.
Oh.
For example.
Oh, that many. Okay.
410 to 158.
Yeah, so he's got Coop. He's got Eli, I mean. He's got Eli covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just as long as he stays in that 28 to 32 points a weekend.
Yeah.
It's gonna turn out really well for him.
Yeah. So, Sexton. Banged up.
Oh.
Guys.
Dude,
guys, you got to come up with something in the PR. You got to say,
what do you want to lie?
Yes, you got to. You want to lie? You got to say, cracked collarbone, a hamstring, a muscle tear.
I don't know that lying is the answer here.
Oh, you don't think teams have lied in PRs before?
I'm sure they have, but I don't think it's like the answer. Like, I don't think it's the solution just because they did it.
You're getting paid millions of dollars and you're banged up, and I'll see you when I see you.
I kind of respect the transparency.
Okay. Well, I talked to somebody at KTM and they are not stoked.
Well, you think they would have been stoked if he said he had a broken shoulder when
he
didn't?
No, they're just not stoked on, like, wait, I don't think he's hurt.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm not saying that they should be stoked. I'm just saying in the PR, I'd rather them not lie. Like, I don't think that's lying to the fans is not the right.
It happens all the time.
Of course, that's fine. So does everything else in this world. Does that make it right too?
Weege.
You know what makes it even worse? I was already bummed about this in the first place because we've seen the dude. The dude is probably the most durable, toughest, I don't know about riding through pain, but he has gotten up from horrific crashes and finished that race, let alone race the next weekend. Like, for better or for worse, that also means we've seen him crash a lot, which isn't great, but my God, can that guy take a hit? And then suddenly that, and I know how injuries work. You can step off a curb and tear your Achilles, and guys roll up the windows on triples and end up not hurt. I know those are variants, but I don't think he's really that hurt. I just don't think so. And then when you see what happens at Hangtown, it's only worse because it was super hot and it was super brutal and Jet Lawrence wasn't perfect. He was fallible. He was beatable. And you've cashed in like, I'm out. I'm out. I have no chance of winning this title. And then we just saw an opening. We just saw a weakness in the type of conditions that Sexton would probably be at his best. He came from last to first at that track last year. And when it's hot, is anybody stronger?
Someone I talked to said, remember when Coop didn't like the bike and the team and did factory connection suspension, and then AP said, I want to try it, and then KTM was like, hey, Coop, just go home. Like, just go home. Yep. Just, we're done.
Yep.
Someone said that may happen here. He's going to Kawasaki, right? And someone told me, and I don't mean someone like a fan on the side of the fence with a Coors Light. I mean, like, someone that would know.
I mean, he already
They're
did
like,
go home.
What?
He already did go home.
Yeah, but like, stay home. Like, we're okay. We're fine.
I don't think they would hurt his feelings at this point. That's me.
Yeah.
Having an opinion. Nobody's told me that. I haven't talked to Chase, but I don't think they would hurt his feelings if they told.
And
him
I'm
that.
The first. I love Chase's candor. I love his honesty. He's a good guy. Kier's a good guy. His dad. I like them as people. And I just called me old, which I am. But like, dude, you get paid to race a dirt bike a lot of money, and if you get your teeth kicked in and you don't like your bike, well, you still get paid, man. We all got to do our job. Your job is to ride the motorcycle, and that's my TED talk for today. I don't.
How bad even is it, really? He could have friggin' won.
Dude.
He could have won. Hang down.
He's banged up, man. He's banged up.
You got Jet being not quite there. hot in the first moto, didn't ride his best, bike isn't there, not his best track. You have Eli getting a ninth in a second moto. Like, he could have won. Unless he's super banged up. But if he was super banged up, like you said, Steve, you feel like there would have been a named thing.
Banged up, man. It's disappointing. It is. It's disappointing. And I would tell Chase that. I'm just like, man, I think you should race. I don't know what's going on in your head. And I know you're not happy with the bike or the team or whatever, but you get paid a lot of money and you should race. And
I mean, he clearly doesn't want to be there.
Right.
Like, I think that's fair to deduce from this, is he doesn't want to be there right now.
It's going to be a tougher decision now, though, because the SMX, if you don't race that, but everything I've heard, he's planning on coming back.
Yep.
Lewis, maybe Southwick. To just be done for the whole rest of the year, I feel like, man, you're costing yourself a lot of money.
But honestly,
I think he comes back. But I think I was just told KTM might be like, hey, yeah.
But this guy, we've seen this guy suffer through a lot, right? Like, I've seen him take some serious hits, like LA Coliseum in 23, and just walk off the track. Like, he looked like he got mauled by a bear, and he just walks off the track. Like, this guy is tough, right? So for me, to see him not willing to race when, yeah, I'm sure he's not feeling 100%, but this is a guy who would normally race under these conditions, in my opinion. So something else is afoot. That's really all that we're trying to get to.
Flyracing.com. Thanks to the folks at Renthal as well. Speaking of Chase Sexton, Renthal.com. You'll see Aaron Plessinger switch to a sort of a twin wall bar this weekend on his bike. Renthal.com, chains, sprockets, factory Honda, Kawasaki, KTM using Renthal products. Mountain bike parts are available in power sports dealers nationwide. They got some cool Renthal mountain bike parts coming real soon, which I'm excited about. Renthal.com. And lock-on grip is great. It's selling really well. And I went 6-6 with Renthal lock-on grips this past weekend at Paula. So thanks to the folks at Renthal. And also Maxxis. Maxxis scoop tires. You need them. Freddie Norn running Maxxis scoops. PRMX as well. This is the part where I say Jack Chambers runs Maxxis, but then he didn't make the motos. But then he got 20th as an alternate. So good job, Jack, with his Maxxis tires, I think. Maxxis.com, great mountain bike tires as well. Thank you to those guys for coming on board, Renthal. And, of course, Fly Racing. Flyracing.com, code PULPMX to save with those guys. All right, Anderson, 9-6 on the day, and Jorge Prado, 12-5. Prado, good, fifth, bad. Looks like the heat got him. When you look at his lap times, they were up there the last three, four laps, so the heat got him pretty good. And then he was on some podcast called Track Talkers, and then some guy named Lou talked to him as well, and he's big on, we got to get this bike better, we got to get this motor faster, all of that. And to which I say, Jorge, you did some testing, right? You did testing? You tested before the Nationals? Did you say the bike could be faster? Did you ask for more horsepower?
But hold on.
Horsepower is the easiest thing to make.
Hold on.
Okay? What?
Hold on. I don't know that that's a fair take, because I have been told through people that would know, several people, in fact, that would know, that this has been an ongoing thing with the Cowie 450. So just because he said make it faster, I don't think that's the first time those words have been uttered. So maybe they're trying to make it faster, and comparatively to other factory engines, which is what they're up against. It's not that they can't make a fast 450, but can they make it the ECU, like whatever troubles they're dealing with. I think there's something there, because I've heard it from too many people now that would have real knowledge about this, that they're behind on the engine package.
Well, Jorge is four motos into his career and complaining about the bike.
But that's my point, is this, I don't think this is a new complaint with the engine, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. So that would tell me they're trying to make it better and are not seemingly able to make it better.
Here we go. I'm pretty sure Cowie can make horsepower, man. It's not hard.
Okay.
Compression, you cams, know. Porting.
Listen,
you can make a bike fast.
You know exactly who I'm talking about. Multiple people have said the same thing.
Yeah,
that,
but
you know. And you think they're all wrong. You think they're all lying.
No. I think the riders are like, yeah, this is good. I like this. This is good. I like this.
No, we hear the opposite.
You know for a fact that's not true.
We've literally heard that about this motorcycle.
What? Steve. Which part?
The Cowie being slow.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying at some point, Jason Anderson, who's been there for a few years, is like, hey, I like this. Yeah, good setting. Like, we can go racing, right?
I don't think he was saying that
Are
last
you
year.
Crazy?
I think he was saying, can you make the bike faster?
So you think he was
and
saying,
they weren't there yet.
Can you make the bike faster? And they couldn't make it faster. Like,
I believe that
the,
is true.
The technicians at Cowie are like emojis. We can't.
Yeah, I think they were like, okay, it's new. We're very careful with reliability. We need to test some more parts. We need to get more parts. We'll get there from the stock bike to
the stock bike
levels,
is slow. The stock bike is slow. It really is. It's everybody who rides them. It's down. It's smooth.
Okay,
so,
right. So start there. And I know for some people that's actually probably better. So I'm not even saying that's horrifically bad. But anyway, yeah, I believe that was a thing even last year at this time. Isn't that what you're talking about, JT? Where other guys on that bike are like, I wish it was faster. Can you make it faster, please?
We have heard multiple people on this particular model bike, this package, say that they feel like they're behind on comparatively.
I've only heard one person, like, but yes, we all know.
I feel very strongly in that take because I've heard it from people who would know. They would know.
So I asked somebody one time this year, I said, hey, man, some of the complaints about you guys, not complaints, but some of the discussions on Kawasaki is you guys are very in your square box and you don't want to go outside and you know, this is what the engineers have told you the bike works. And I ran into some of that at Yamaha with some stuff where engineers are like, this is the way the bike works, blah, blah, blah. I've seen it. And then I said to the Cowie guy, like, this is some of your. And you can go back to some of my interviews. There's two people I interviewed that work at Factory Cowie. You can guess which one I asked because they're both. I asked both of them. And they're like, no. There's no limits. There's absolutely nothing. We give the riders what they want. We do what they want. We there's no limits on what we say you can't have. We can do whatever you want. And as one guy even said, you should see the stuff we have in our shop.
And this is also the same conversation we had about a scoop tire this weekend, where I was literally staring at the tire and you were told that it was a different tire than what I'm staring at him.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
But it's the same thing. Like,
okay, so anyways, back to Prado. Like he's the rider. He's saying his bike needs to be faster. So let's monitor this and see, you know, if in a couple of weeks or whatever, Prado says, yeah, it's good. They fixed it. Because, dude, I'm telling you, getting a bike balanced and the chassis and the suspension working for every single type of bump is really hard. Making a bike fast is not that hard.
I want to add this in there because this was a conversation that I had over a year ago when I first heard that he was going to make the jump to Kawasaki and wasn't confirmed. We know PRs and all that, but like it was pretty well accepted. I was in Europe talking to DeCarlo KTM about it and what they were going to do to replace him. Like I knew he was leaving. So I had firsthand knowledge from them, like, Jorge's always been a guy that wants the fastest motorcycle you can give him because he knows what to do with it. He will use it in straight line shots. He wants it for the start. He knows what to do with an incredibly fast bike. And not everybody wants that. Some guys want a bike that they can ride hard, that the power is really manageable. That's not what Jorge wants. He wants a rocket ship. So I remember him commenting last year about, hey, I need on the front end of this, like, make sure that we have the fastest version of this bike next year possible. Like, I need a very, very, very fast motorcycle. So when you say that, did he relay any of this? Like, I heard about it a year ago and I'm not even involved. Like, I'm not even a involved party in these conversations. And I heard Jorge talking about he wanted a fast bike. So for me to think that that didn't get relayed to his team sometime between now and a year ago, to me, is impossible. Like, I can't even fathom that that's the case.
But why wouldn't, in all the testing, just say faster, faster, faster?
Like, I think he has been. That's the point. I think.
And they just say no?
No, I think they're trying. Like, I don't think that they're just like, no. I think they're trying to. But, like, it's not like they can just snap their fingers and build an engine package as good as Honda's is the best bike on the track, or Tomac's engine is the best engine on the track. I don't think that you can just magically snap your fingers and get there. Look at Chase Sexton starts last year. Like, Phil was making so much fun of him. Like, he was getting yarded out of the gate almost every single time. Like, I don't think it's as easy as we're, you know, assuming that it is.
Well, the fifth wasn't bad. So,
No, it's not catastrophically bad. I'm just saying we're looking for areas for him to close the gap, and I think that's a big one.
The thing that really drives us home is that he's so start dependent, right? He is like Justin Cooper. I mean, JT, you've seen a lot more than I have. You've gone to those races. He wins from the front. So if he has a bike that can't get starts, that is the worst case scenario for him in particular.
Yeah.
So that's scary.
You're taking away one of the biggest aspects of his game, which is put himself in good position all the time. Like now he's just not, maybe he gets a whole shot sometime soon, but through four starts, he really hasn't even been close.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
now we have to qualify this, Steve. The reason that JT was in the face of the crew chief Oscar was because Oscar told me on Saturday morning at Fox Raceway, they didn't run the scoop because they did not want to get a whole shot. They were not ready for that. JT was not happy about that strategy.
No.
Hopefully they're past that now, and they're hoping to get whole shots, trying to get whole shots, and thinking if they get whole shots, they can win.
We're four motos in, and we got a little bit of drama already with Jorge and the team and everything else. And I mean, okay, all those points are valid about him needing a start to run good, but he's getting beat bad.
Yeah, of course.
So, oh, yeah.
Like, of course. Start or not,
right.
He's not fast enough right now.
Yeah. Malcolm Stewart, 8-10. Joey Savacci, 10-11. Broken finger for Joe Dog. Cody Shock's been pretty good. Like, I think his bike broke at Paula, but he was up there. And then I think he crashed in one moto too. But, like, he's been good on a 450. Like, he's all-around factory guys. And as I say, like, that's always something that I look at where you're like, okay, man, you're on this team and you don't have factory parts and testing and programs and all of that. And you're doing good. So Joey was top non-factory guy. And then, you know, after that, it's Cody Shock. So Pacharel, yep, good job for Pacharel. Him and Guillaud did battle again. I guess Guillaud crashed or faded back. But they were – this might be the battle to watch this summer between the two MXGP guys.
I love it.
Yeah.
Not that you care,
actually, if you look
it is
at the second moto. JT, I don't know if you even see there at the end. But the second moto, I think like 10 through 15 was like a dogfight. Mm-hmm. I think Malcolm was 10th and everyone was trying to get him.
Yeah, I did notice pretty it anecdotally. I was trying to watch the stuff at the front a little bit, and then I had to reposition to the podium. Steve, I know you don't care. Yeah. It's not a big deal, but it is Guillaud. I got asked a couple times to relay that to people, so I'm relaying it to you.
What did I say?
Guillaud.
Okay.
He's never going to change. You know this.
I don't care. I was asked
he's
specifically
gonna be
to share that.
Guillaud the day he dies.
Yeah, I was asked to share it, so I'm sharing it. That's it.
Guillaud and I go way back.
That's fine. I'm not saying you don't know him. I'm just literally what I was asked to do.
You did it.
Look, Lorenzo Locurcio, good job. Rode well. Freddie, 18-17. I'm still waiting for Freddie to get going. Freddie's, we do these re-raceable pods, and Freddie's got a lot of top tens. We gotta get up there.
The field's a lot deeper. Like, if you look at 2022, it's a lot different field than it was then.
Feel like Freddie and Cody Shock are the same? They ride a club. Like,
I don't. I think Shock's a little better, but
okay.
Freddie has not been. He's not had a good two races.
No.
Like, I just don't want to.
No.
Think about that 2022 or 23 season, whatever it was, where he's getting like seventh every moto. Like, the field's different than that right now.
Hardog crashed out in second moto. He had to spend the night in the hospital with some ribs. Poor Hardog. 14th in the first moto. The off-road guys let us down in fantasy, JT. They Pulp Fantasy Pod, so much Dante talk, Dare DiMarte talk, a lot of this heat, off-road, gnarly. They let
second motos were a little better.
The
starts were a huge part of the problem. Like, bad qualifying position, bad gate pick, maybe worse start. Like, that's kind of where it unravels.
And I did have to laugh because we know Bondo loves Coolis, and I know he was holding a gun to your head, Weege, when you had to be like, Coolis races with Pacharel all the time. He's just as good as Pacharel. Like, he should be right there. I know you were forced to say that.
No, I threw that in because his team is sponsored by the Michaels Reno Power Sports, which also backed the event. So he was saying last week he really wanted to be good here because that's what the team is based out of. Last week wasn't good. This week wasn't that good either.
There's no world where Harry Coolis, who's a great guy, Harry Coolis. There's no world where Coolis is as good as results wise as Guillaud and Pacharel. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, is that true?
I believe so. Kulis has had some good rides for sure. Like MX 2 years ago.
He did win a GP.
Yep, yep. But generally speaking,
I would agree with you that Pacherel and Guillaume are better than Harry Kulis.
Yeah, but the guy in the middle here, in the box in the middle, the announcer, doesn't seem to think so. So,
well, that's because the actual rider himself, Harry, told me last week that that's where he expects to be and wants to be.
Benny Bloss showed up, and that's about it for our guy Benji.
He wasn't even the best beta.
What? That's a good point, Weege. I never even thought of that. He wasn't even the best beta.
He wasn't even the second best beta.
Why? Who was better? Who was better?
You had DeMartill and Bryson Gardner.
Dude, when the test rider beats you, the guy that doesn't even race.
Your team manager's brother.
What was Jeff's reaction
Clayton
like?
Tucker beat him in the second moto too on a beta.
Do you think Jeff just kicked him in the face and left? God.
And Benny is good outdoors. I mean, I don't know how much it is. This bike has not raced outdoors. The factory team, I don't know. I haven't talked to Benny. I don't know what happened.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's 450 class for Hangtown. Again, thank you to Fly Racing and Racetech as well as on board with this. Motorsport.com, OEM and aftermarket parts. They got a Driven to Ride sweepstakes going on right now. YZ450F is the grand prize. Thank you to the folks at Motorsport.com. Go through the banner to help us out. Great prices, free shipping on everything over $79, and OEM and aftermarket parts, e-bike stuff. If you got a secret street bike, whatever it is, Motorsport.com. They've always supported the sport for a long time, and they continue to do that. Renthal and Maxxis tires as well. Brunt Boots. Now, I'm not a working man, but Eli Tomac's mechanic, Josh, is a working man. And he hit me up, and we're getting him some Brunt Boots, just like Pedro and a few other guys out there, because Brunt Boots are fantastic for guys who do real work. Not me. I wear flip-flops. But if I did work for a living, I would wear Brunt Boots. Code PULPMX to save. BruntWorkwear.com. PULPMX is a code to save. They aren't just about work boots. They got a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs. Again, not me, but tough jobs. And join over 500,000 other customers in getting some Brunt Boots. And Onyx Maps as well, Weege.
Onyx Maps has 500,000 plus miles of trails mapped out. That's for mountain bikes, dirt bikes, adventure bikes. They have hiking. They have a hunting version of the app, public and private lands. You can leave notes for other people to use. You can read notes that people have left for you to learn about the trail. And you can download the maps so you can have them even if you're in the backcountry and you don't have cell service, which is really cool. But they really just keep changing it all the time and adding to it all the time. They even have workshops that you can watch virtually to learn different things about off-roading and things like that. So go to onxmaps.com or Onyx Off-Road in the App Store.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you to those guys for coming on. 250s. Let's do it. Deegs 1-1. We asked this on the Pulp Show. Who wins more overalls, Deegs or Jet?
I think I'm gonna go Deegs.
Okay, JT. I think
there's
you went
a big Tomac
so.
Factor. Big Tomac factor in the 450s.
JT, did you go Deegs?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big difference. You know, if you told me it was like 10-8 or something, I that's fine. I don't think you're going to see a drastic difference between the two, but I would go Deegs also.
Yeah, look, he's...
Dude, you guys better cover your face like Guillaume. Tomac fans hear the things you are throwing out in this podcast.
But if Jets won 2, I say 8, Eli wins.
There's probably Tomac fans that think Jets this is it.
Oh, he's never winning again.
2 for the year. Oh. Yeah, Tomac's got it.
Well, they're wrong. They're wrong.
Careful.
Yeah, I think they're wrong.
Deegs is in great shape, as we know. He can hammer down with the best of them, and then he's also really fast. So all those conditions equaled a great Hangtown. And, I mean, obviously the highlight was probably Kolbusch, the privateer, pumping his fist. Then Deegs pumping his fist back when he got him back at the same spot. Awesome. That was pretty awesome. But, he's on fire right now. I mean – I do not think he's going to go perfect. It's too hard in the 250 class, I think. But if you're Hayden, thinking the way he thinks, yeah, there's a goal. Let's go perfect, right?
Oh, I think he's going to start thinking about it for sure.
Yeah.
It's never been done in that class.
Right. I'm telling you.
He got 23 out of 24.
That first moto when he came in, like you could tell he had been exercising, but not much more than that. I'm just telling you, when he took his helmet off, Not a lot of strain happening for Hayden Deegan. Second moto, a little bit more, but I don't know, man. I they're going to have to find a way to get to him, because right now his starts aren't so bad. Like, he's top 10 and the speed is a real thing over everybody, where it was like sometimes last year, not all the time. Late in the moto, yes, but like middle of the moto sometimes. He's improved every level. Like, his starts are a little better, his fitness is better, and his speed seems to be significantly better. Like, what are they going to do with him?
You look at his Denver, Salt Lake, Paula, Hangtown, like, he's maybe never been better. Those two indoor wins were phenomenal, right? And then, like, just picture perfect. Well, the Denver one wasn't picture perfect because he sent his teammate over a berm, but the charge was phenomenal. And then dominated Salt Lake, and he's gone 4-for-4 here. This might be peak Deegs. Are we peak Deegs?
Yeah.
Peak Deegs.
We are. Racing happens. You know, like, you don't know what's going to happen. First turn crashes happen, like, whatever. It's not like we expect him to be win everything, but he has a significant edge in, I would say, every category but the start, and the starts aren't so bad.
Joe Shimoda, 2-2. Dude, did not have this on my bingo card. Joe's gone 2-2-2-2. Really good job.
Yeah.
You guys didn't show him much, I don't think, in the broadcast, or maybe I wasn't paying it. Like, a quiet 2-2-2-2-2. As quiet as you can kind of be.
We didn't show Deegs all that much either. Like, yeah. They were just kind of riding by themselves. But yep. I think Joe has been the surprise of the series so far.
Oh, you know,
like, I think everything else, you could say Kitchen at the first round was a negative, like a downside surprise. But Joe has been the upside surprise of this series.
I think, yeah, he's not going to get seen much, because generally we're going to show a battle or the leader, but not the guy in second who's also by himself, mm-hmm. like the leader. But he's really been head and shoulders above everybody else, too. He's not as good as Deegs, but, I mean, he's beaten everybody else every time. That's not even just, like, by chance. Like, he's been better. He comes through the pack sometimes.
JT, you owe me an apology, which I will not get because you refuse to do that. But Levi Kitchen on the fantasy pod. I was big on Levi Kitchen rebounding. Maybe I didn't see a 3-3, though.
Okay.
But really good job for Levi. Because, honestly, talking about fantasy, JT, he qualified 14th. I'm like, oh boy. Like, I still thought he would do well, but I'm like, what is going on? I think it was 14th. It was around there. And I'm like, what is going on with Levi?
Yeah, he was really good. And if I owe you an apology, you were right. Great job. But I think the same thing holds true for Tomac in the 450. But so we can call it even if you want on that. But I certainly was not right on Eli or on Levi, that's for damn sure.
He rebounded really well. Don't be mad that I proved that Hangtown wasn't Eli's best track. Don't be upset. The numbers proved it. Don't be mad.
You're seriously a moron. Like, seriously.
Weege, he's won more at two other tracks than Hangtown. Those seem to be better tracks to me, in my eyes.
One thing here and there can throw some averages off.
Well, I was just counting wins, not averages. I agree, because Thunder Valley average is garbage because he went DNF, DNF, right? Like, the Thunder Valley stats are all out of whack. When has a dude ever done that?
Just saying, stats don't always tell the whole story. He had won 6 of 7 450 second motos in his career at Hangtown. That's
six of seven? Was this the seventh this weekend?
No.
Oh, coming in.
He went the wrong direction. Now he won the first moto this time.
Okay. Yeah. Kitchen 3-3, Beaumaire 8-4. That'll be interesting to see if he, like, as we know, same thing, the ruts and East Coast stuff isn't where he's happy, right? So that'll be interesting to see if Beaumaire can keep it up. But he's been really good through the first two rounds. He's taken a step up for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think they know if he's going to Baker's Factory or not yet. They don't exactly know.
That was very odd, that Lou guy. If you listen to his interview, first, Juju's like, bike was way off in first moto. Couldn't even believe he could hold on to eighth. Way better in Moto 2, and he was really good to the end of Moto 2. So I think this time you can say he said bike setup, but it showed. But when he was asked about Baker's Factory, it was a very odd, not going to answer that question answer. I don't know what that means.
I asked Millsaps, because Davey works with him, and I said, what's up with this weirdo answer? And Davey said, because they don't know what he's going to do, which is weird because it's like 2 weeks away, but they don't know. So I don't know. I would think Baker's, right?
That's actually not that controversial, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Wouldn't you just go to Baker's Factory, though? Like, just be, I don't know. Who knows?
California's tough, man. All I hear every weekend, you're out there, Steve, is that there's hardly any places left to even ride at all.
No,
let
yeah,
alone the quality of the tracks. There's just not a lot of tracks.
And never mind, you're going to land on a 60.
But couldn't it be like a situation like Sexton, where he's not on that program? They're trying to figure out if he's going to ride there, but not be on their program. I don't know.
Yeah, like Tom and
Sexton. He's gone there before.
Yeah, he has. Chase is banged up. Marchbanks, good again. Good job, Garrett Marchbanks. Yep, absolutely.
He had better starts, Steve.
Oh, yeah, that's right. His interview, what Seth told us on the line, that he started 14th in Moto One or something. So, look, he's not going to do it. In all this talk of scoops and dissed up starts, he's 100 and whatever pounds, 170 pounds or something. Like, it ain't really going to happen, I don't think. Once in a while, sure, but consistently?
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird scores, though. Like, Jordan Smith goes 11-6 for sixth overall. Julian goes 8-4 for fourth overall. Like, the second moto finishes got you good results overall. Harup, 10-9 for seventh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice improvement.
Right?
Yeah.
Master Pool, oh, that was an improvement, yeah. There is no denying, Wygant, your voice gets a little higher, a little more excitement when he's up there. Like, you can't deny this.
Remember I said in the pre-race shows for Racer X, I was not calling him as a championship contender because something's going to happen. And then I see his dad Saturday morning. I'm like, how's it going? And he's like, oh, he's so sick. He was sick last week. Now he's really bad. This is full survival, just salvaging points. And I'm just like, this is always the deal. This is why he's got three awesome races a year, one to three awesome races a year every summer, and then the rest you're like, what the heck? And then this one he had somehow still did well on Moto 1, which I didn't expect, and then Moto 2 was not good. This is just what you get.
Yeah, it's been up and down, but hey, guess what? The speed is there with Ty Masterpool.
Always has been.
Never said that before. JT, you did correctly on the Fantasy Pod call out Dylan Schwartz for a good finish.
Yeah, I mean – that guy is a heat and fitness warrior. I'm guessing he just works really hard. Like, I've never seen him at a practice track or no. I'm just going off results. Like, if I see it enough of the same damn thing over and over when it's hot and really difficult, he does well. It just kind of tells me what I need to know about him. So, not shocking to see him have a good day.
What spot was Mosman in when he went down in Moto 2 late?
Fourth?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think fourth.
Right. Damn, dude. Michael Mosman, that could have been a really good day. Hometown kid.
So. Weege had a great interview with him on the Weed Show after the race.
Hmm.
So
it's Mosman, man.
Yeah.
Always a great interview.
Yeah. We were going to get him on the Pulp Show tonight, but we had some scheduling conflicts, but we will get him on soon. Casey Cochran loves Hangtown.
Fast there, right?
Yeah, damn. Dude. Unbelievable. Qualified well, and then, led a little while. Did he just get tired? Was there falls?
Oh, I'm sure he got tired that first moto.
Yeah.
Like, you could just see him. Like, put yourself in his shoes. The best thing he could possibly do for himself is what he did. Lead laps, run up front. It's just like, I think he and Ryder D are in the same spot where they just need proof of concept right now. Just validate the fact that you're on factory equipment. So whoever the decision maker over there is like, yeah, man, look, like they have it. We need to keep them. That's the best thing they could do for themselves.
Drew Adams, so-so day.
Second moto was good.
Yep. Hammaker okay?
I don't know.
Weege?
I don't know.
He never got back into the race.
No,
right?
he walked DNF'd off the track from the start.
Yep.
No, I don't know.
Also,
maybe I'll hit him up.
What's that?
I'll text him right now, and maybe we'll have an answer by the end of the show.
Okay.
Vial's
crash, you guys never quite got it, but what was the problem? Did he get his hand or head caught in Ryder D's rear wheel? Like, what was the issue?
His elbow and his side in Ryder D's rear wheel. He fell into Ryder D's rear wheel.
So was it
and I guess his elbow and his side was really bad.
Oh, like shredded
banged
up?
Banged up.
Okay.
So Southwick?
It's going around. It's contagious over there at KTM.
Listen, Vial and Hammaker were two dudes that you're like, these guys are going to be podium guys. And they DNF.
Maybe I still will. Like, take this weekend out of it. I think he would have been in the mix in that first moto. second moto, when you start last on the last gate pick, what are you going to do? But the first weekend, he was good. Like, I don't think there's any reason to think he won't be a podium guy all summer.
Jaime's food poisoning on Monday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Threw up Sunday, Monday. The race again.
Yeah. Everybody rented out Fox Raceway, I think, on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
All the factories. Steve, were you able to be a part of that?
No, I was not. No, but I'm
that
glad.
Helped.
I'm glad to see the team spending like $1,000 to not have a chance to land on a 60 rider. Like, good job, yeah, good job, teams.
Yeah. Jaime's couldn't even do that. He wasn't able to ride on Tuesday. Then he rode Wednesday a little bit. Thought he was okay. When I talked to him Saturday morning, I think he was just explaining like, I didn't get to do all the testing I wanted to do. I don't think he was as worried about the. I think he thought he was over it, but I would assume that heat, if you're throwing up Sunday, Monday,
yeah,
maybe it catches up to you on Saturday.
We said he crammed a bunch of stuff, electrolytes, food. Like, you know, they have specific things to try to speed up that replacement process, and then he threw all that up, so he had nothing left.
Oh,
yeah.
Enzo,
not good, man.
Enzo Timmerman ran out of gas with half a lap to go in the first moto. I guess he was 12th or 14th or something, and then as he was pushing his bike back, threw up, and so they held him out a second moto. In case you're wondering.
Oh, because I saw it was DNS.
My source for that was a Vincent Way. I don't know if he's trying to get into the media game, what's going on, but that was my source.
Oh, well, our Team Green guys,
yeah.
Even though one's racing pro now, they're Team Green guys.
Yeah. Fedortsov, DNF, Moto 1, 15th, Moto 2. That's a good job. And Avery Long was up there again for a while. I don't know what happened at the end, but.
You were hammering your. Co-host on one of your other shows about Fedortsov, so he deserves some credit there. I think
there's too much Fedortsov talk.
I mean, he's been top 20 like every time.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah. Just
good.
All the guys at club during the week. I get, you know, just all those guys. So,
yeah, but Cody Shaw called him the confidence killer.
Right,
the confidence killer.
Right,
is he will smoke you during the week for sure.
Weege J-Mart.
Well, I was afraid it was over again for the second week in a row. You know, when he was in 22nd last week, I'm like, this could be the end. And then when I see him crash out of this one, I'm like, this could be the end. But I heard nothing broken. Is he just banged up?
A lot of banged up.
Is he? Here's what I think. I don't think he's going past round three.
Well,
that's what I think. Is he going to race this weekend, though? That is my question.
He told me he had a 3-race deal, and then the Yamaha PR came out, and it said it was in for the year.
So I asked someone at Yamaha about that, and the official answer I heard, I don't know if this is off the record, but I'm going to use it here, was, I don't know, man.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. The official, I don't know, man. Then when I talked to J-Mart himself on Friday, he said it's for 3.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know, man.
If you were looking for a direction of where this was going, it seems like 3 at this point.
Why would you be begging for more? This is... Now it's like getting dangerous. Like, he could have got hurt, which is like, that's all you're looking to not do. Yep.
I absolutely love Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones movies. They're so, so good. I watch them all the time. And then, like, 1989 was the third one. And then they came up with a fourth one in, like, 2010. And I couldn't have been more excited to go to the movie theater. And I was all in. And I sat through that piece of shit.
Terrible.
And I was so bummed out. And I want this J-Mart thing to work like I want the fourth Indiana Jones to work. Like, I was there. I'm here. I want this.
Yep.
And it's not, and it saddens me. But
has it been Crystal Skull so far?
It's been Crystal Skull. Yeah, it's absolutely been Crystal Skull. But he is good at Lakewood. Lakewood's a good track for him.
He was fine that first moto. He was like 12th.
Was he 12th? Yeah,
forward.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, moving up. I was watching him because he's on my fantasy team.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, all you got to do is just hang in because your fitness is your strength. And these guys are going to get tired and just stay the course. And then the next lap, I saw him standing on the side of the track with no visor.
Do you think UPS is holding his gig open?
I hope.
Okay.
I don't know if he's going.
So he's
going
to go from what can blue do for you to back to what can brown do.
Brown could do for you. Yeah. No, listen.
I talked to him quite a bit on Saturday. He's always a fun guy to talk to. I think in his mind, this was not – he never thought this was going to be 2014-15.
No.
J-Mart.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But to me, I just don't want to see him get hurt. And then when I see him like JT said, on the side of the track with that advisor. I'm like, oh, no. This is the one thing you can't.
Yep.
That's why I thought maybe it gives him
pause.
That's
my point. It's like, you're where you need to be. Like, I really felt if he just stayed what he was doing,
yeah,
he would have ended up top 10 in that heat. And then I'm like, it's like Prado at A2. The one thing you can't do is throw your motorcycle down the racetrack. Like, it's one thing you can't do. And they both did it.
Weege, what's that bottle you're drinking out of? What's that? Looks like
yeah.
I don't know. You got these made for
what is that?
Shaker.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah, look at that logo. Yeah.
Why is that a?
Turn that logo around though.
Controversial or something or what?
Just nice to see you using it.
It was free.
Well, I still believe in you, J-Mart. I'm here for you. If you need to call me, please.
You just called him Crystal Skull. So clearly.
Well, one thing I don't do is, you know, the hard truths here. I don't really care. I just say what I think. But I'm still here for him. I want this story to end well. Thunder Valley is a good track. We're at elevation. We're on a star Yamaha. Let's do this, J-Mart. Let's do this. Let's bring it back. If we go 3-3 this weekend, it will all be forgiven.
3-3.
3-3. 3-3.
Will you pick him on your fantasy team is the question.
I can't. I picked that loser in Hangtown.
Okay. All right. Never mind.
I can't.
3-3.
All right. Before we wrap up here on the Fly Racing Racer X show, our guy Phil made his comeback to racing this week in Canada. He went 3-3, speaking of 3-3. And I sent you guys a really funny
text. Great. So hold on. He was upset with 3-3 is what I got from it?
Well, because he got beat by 2 minutes.
Yeah, but Phil's old. For this sport, he's old. It's fair. Like, no problem. It's not his fault. We all get old. But, like, I feel like 3-3 is super respectable. Like, did he think he was going to go to Canada on those guys' home tracks and go beat them?
No. No, he just didn't like the 2 minutes.
Yeah, whatever. Like,
oh, okay.
Honestly, like, if Phil was on the call, I would say you need to calm down. Like, 3-3 is a great result.
Okay. All right. Well, Weege, he said he was happier second.
Yeah, I feel the same way. 3-3 is far from a disaster. It's probably exactly what it should be. He's just mad about the gap, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he was very upset about the gap. And then at some point in the second moto, a guy with taped-on numbers was beating him. Now, he did end up beating that guy, but the guy had tape for numbers.
Well, the point, he wouldn't get any more points or any more money if the gap was 40 seconds versus 2 minutes.
Right, right. Okay, all right. Again, Fly Racing Racer X review, and then Loretta's.
Yes,
the dream is over.
Yeah, but that sucks because I feel like you did great.
Well, I don't know. Do you feel like I did great?
Would you get sixth?
6-6 in +50. Yeah.
I just feel like the Loretta's program, especially for vet dudes, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the California region isn't that strong, but I feel like there's tons of people that ride all the time. Ex-pros, whatever. I feel like sixth place is,
well,
it's like Phil, highly respectable.
It's ironic we're talking about Phil's race in this way because my 6-6, they take top four. My 6-6 looks better on paper than it was on the track. Like the top four guys, gone. Like if I pushed it and had a bunch of holy shit moments out there, you know, and like just, I even still don't think that was enough. Do you know what I'm saying? Like my top end, like, hey, I got to go for this. Those guys were fast. So
I think this went really well. You got to go through this experience. You are safe. I think Loretta's would be a very, very difficult experience heat wise.
Yeah. You said congrats to me. Congrats on not making it.
What's that?
You said congrats on not making it because you didn't want me to go to the red.
Yes. Like I think this went exactly in the best manner possible.
Right.
I just think this is how it was meant to go. I'm happy you went through this. I'm happy you're safe. I don't think qualifying would have been a better outcome than this.
Right, right. Yeah, that's your boat. So funny story, though. I raced Chicken. Jeff Chicken Matasevich was in my class. So
now, hold on. Was he one of the four? He was not one of the four in that class, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He got second.
But you said he was right in front of you for half the race.
Not right in front of me, but 5 seconds in front of me, 6 seconds in front of me, yeah.
Well, I'm confused. Aren't some of these classes what they call the sportsman classes where ex-professionals cannot compete?
No, +50 is wide open. That's Mike Brown and everybody.
But you're also in 45.
Yes, I was also in +45. That one you cannot have points in.
So, did we just find out that 5 years younger is a bigger advantage than having been an ex-pro? Is that what we found out here?
Yeah, I guess.
Were you closer in 45 or 50?
I was closer in 50.
Wow.
Yeah, 45 was tougher because there were dudes that were under 50, over 45 that were better than me also.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm have 45. To beat Jeff Matasevich.
I'm 45, so theoretically you would be – I have points, but in a different world.
You can't
world,
race that, yeah. You can't race 45 plus.
I understand, but I'm saying – but guys my age, you would be racing against.
Yeah. So I go six in the first moto, right? And the guy in fifth gets me on the last lap, right? So we're close. Me and that guy are close. Chicken's in the top four. We all get a text when you sign up. You get a text about the transponders, practice times. You know, it's just the promoters texting you. So we all get a text saying for Sunday – there's one lap, a sight lap, Sunday morning, no practice, and then we're going to roll right into racing program. Well, turns out Chicken didn't really get this memo or get the text or no one told him. So I get word, Kiefer gets word that Chicken ain't making it. Chicken's on the freeway. He didn't get the text. He thinks this is a Saturday program. So now I'm doing the math in my head. If I can beat the dude that passed me on the last lap and Chicken's not here, I'm in, right? Like, I'm in because – so I got – now I'm, like, sweating a little bit, like, oh, shit, okay. Well, Chicken, this is not – you know, it's not – this is going to work out. I just got to beat that one guy that got me on the last lap, which, hey, we're – flip a coin. So I'm sitting on the line, and in rolls Chicken. Jersey untucked, two buckles on his boots not done up, goggles sideways – and he rolls up on the line, and I'm like, God damn, Chicken. He made it. He made it somehow, threw his bike together, and got it. And then, but then the guy that beat me on the last lap also beat me in the race. So all's well as, you know, I didn't make it. But at some moment, I'm doing the math. Chicken being Chicken is going to get me into the ranch. So then I sent Chicken a text. First, he said he was going to take me out on Saturday, by the way. He said, I'm going to take you out, dude. And I said, I'm not Bradshaw, man. I know I'm on a Yamaha, but I'm not Bradshaw. And then and then I sent him a text. I said, damn you, I thought I had you beat because you were a no-show. He writes back, yeah, this is why I don't like outdoors. I go to bed at 2 or 3 a.m., and I'm tired at 6 or 7 a.m. Supercross, 6 or 7 p.m., I'm ready to go. That's...
I mean, this was 30 years ago.
It does. Chicken lives Chicken, man. I don't think his life changes. So
when was the last time you raced Supercross, bro?
I don't know, but
what night show is he preparing for?
Can you imagine if he doesn't show and I get into the ranch via Chicken being Chicken?
Oh,
like just screwing things up. Right. It would have been phenomenal. But
I mean, the last time I can remember him racing Supercross was like 95.
No, JT, 02, Takati Cowie.
Really?
Yeah, you were around. 02, Takati Cowie. He came back for 125s. He rode 125 Supercross for Mitch in like the mid-90s.
Well, that's 95.
Yeah. And then in 02, he was still riding.
Really? I do not remember this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He doesn't either, don't worry.
Yeah. But, yeah, two buckles undone on his boots, jersey untucked, and he still beat me, but rolled in.
So he raced the moto that way.
Yeah, he rolled in with like a minute to go, a minute before the gate drop. So,
Are you sure?
He didn't get the boots buckled.
Takati Cowie was 98.
Weren't they around in 02 too?
No.
Okay, no. 98, okay. 99. Well, I mean, we have access to this.
I mean, Takati Cowie, I think the last year they were around was 98, being completely honest. Not that anybody
good
cares.
Good sponsor for Chicken, though.
It definitely was. There's no way it was 02. There's no way.
I just... Steven, what world... When would you say you were your peak prime racing years? 89? 88?
No, I would say early 90s.
Okay. What year did you make the National? 92?
Yeah. Early 90s.
Someone tells you that to complete your racing goals, at some point in your life, you're going to have to close the gap... and be good enough to beat Jeff Matasevich. But would you have thought? Someone said, that's where you got to go. That's the level you've got to get to.
Yeah.
And you're almost there. Like you said, you could see chicken for some of the moto.
Yeah, yeah. Half the moto, he was about 4 or 5 seconds ahead of me.
Almost got to the point where you could catch chicken.
Like Campbell and Shane Nowley are out in the middle of the track waving you on to go get chase down chicken.
98, last result for chicken in the vault. 98.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so.
JT, can you tell JT he was right, Steve?
You were right. Well, okay. He said.
Oh!
Hold on. JT said mid-90s.
No. I when you said Takati's what threw me off. I did not remember even 98, but I know Takati was 98 for sure.
Yep. So the dream is dead. I already sent a text to Coombs, try to get in protests or something, but he never wrote back. So I think I'm out.
What about the alternate island thing that people
do? No, not doing that. I did have a bunch of people say, "Hey, did you make the other regional Hangtown this weekend, bro?" I'm like, yeah, man. I got a job and a life. Like, not traveling this thing. And then someone's like, dude, Washougal's the easiest one. It's the last regional. It's the easiest one. I'm like, yeah, man. Again, a job, a life. Not chasing it. So, but
I think you've done awesome, man.
My fly racing gear looked good. I will say that. You can use the code PulpMX to check out from there. So, yep, 6-6. The dream is over. Oh well. I'll probably still go to the ranch though. I had fun last year when I went. And someone told me if I would have made it, I couldn't go to that air-conditioned tower, which was amazing last year.
Oh, that would have been an unfair advantage.
I don't know. Is that true?
They're pretty restrictive on infield access and fairness and all that, so I actually wonder if that would be the case.
So I'm actually glad I didn't make it, because I want that air-conditioned tower is nice.
Unless you have air conditioning to hide in at Loretta's, I would highly advise not going.
Well, I just saw a lot of Kiefer and Steve just sitting in a minivan with the air conditioning on all day. That was a lot of the week last year.
Yeah, that was great. All right.
You should do a Monday night. Can you do a show from there?
Probably, yeah. I don't know.
Think of the guests you could get.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I just need Wi-Fi and whatever. All right, that's Hangtown. We're on to Lakewood. Who wins more overalls, Jet or Deegs? Both are off to a strong start so far. And, we'll keep on rolling on. So
Deegs doesn't have to race Tomac.
Yep.
That's a big difference.
Yep.
Okay.
And Chase, assuming Chase is back too, that's also a thing.
He's banged up though.
Yeah, but if he's back and healthy, like Chase is a serious problem for anybody.
I just want to end the pod talking about him being banged up.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the fact that he's not racing is wild to me. Like, there has to be so much more to it for him to not be racing. We need to be very clear on that. I don't think any of us believe that him being banged up is the reason he's not racing.
All I can hope is, and I'll reveal this, during the second moto, when Tomac went down, I actually wrote on our format in Sharpie for Stu, I said Sexton should have raced. I hope that there is a part of Sexton that was watching that and is like, damn it, Jet had a bad moto. Tomac had a bad moto. Why did I not do this?
It was the first thing.
And that motivates him to race.
It was the first thing I thought of when I looked at the weather on like Sunday or Monday for Hangtown. I'm like, oh, this is perfect for Sexton. And then.
That 10th overall in qualifier number one at Paula, that did us in.
Could have.
It was over from there. Bike's no good. Can't ride it. 10th fastest. I'm banged up.
Yep.
So if he's leaving, does Prado's results give him a lot of confidence?
Can someone make Chase's bike faster at Cowie?
I don't know, man. You seem to think it's really easy, so hopefully.
I'm getting
it's cams and compression, man.
I'm diving into this week. I am diving into my texts with my friends this week.
Please include me, because I want to be on a fly on the wall.
And I'm going to get to the bottom of what is going on. So, all right, cool. Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for watching and listening. Appreciate it. Thanks to, Anton as well, for putting this thing together for us. Always appreciate that. And, yeah, man, thanks, JT Weege. Thanks, boys.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't try-